That is tuning in with us this morning for our worship. We have 37 devices tuned in right now from Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Kansas. We're glad you're with us, and we're glad Steve Cooner is with us with Hope for Haiti's Children. A number of you know about that, but some of you may not know about that. And so we're going to learn some more today during this lesson time. Looking forward to that and have opportunities for you to help in this work when we're finished today. One of those is a silver box. We have that set out in the foyer, so if no other way, if you just want to put some funds in today to help with this ministry, you can do that and find out more ways in just a minute. Steve, thank you.
Well, it's great for me to be able to be back in. Come on. I told you I don't like this thing. Am I on now? How about now?
Yes.
It's good. Okay. All right. Technology and I do not get along very well. So when I was hired in this position that I'm in some 8 years ago, I'm blessed that I work with a lot of techno-savvy people, people that go to college and get degrees in this, in computer science and all. And I sat down and I told my boss that day, I said, "You're going to have to help me with this. I'm not as good as you all are." And he said, "Steve, don't worry about it. We didn't hire you for that." So I rely on them heavily to help me out and walk me through. I can do a few things, but not a lot of things. So anyway. It's great, like I said, to be back in Sand Springs. You folks here at this congregation, I'm going to give you a plan. I'm going to tell you a plan, and this is what you need to take to heart and use this. You need to call Homer and Etta Mae Weathers and say, "We've had a plumbing leak over here at our house. Can we come over there and stay with y'all for a few days?" And then you need to say to Etta Mae, "The only thing that the doctor says that I can eat are homemade cinnamon rolls." And do a fainting spell or do something. Just get out of the way and let her go to work. But I got a good crash course on homemade cinnamon rolls last night from Etta Mae. And Homer and I and Etta Mae got to have those for breakfast this morning. So that's great. Everywhere I go is not that good. I was at a place here. Yeah, I'm not going to mention their names. I will tell you this story, though, very briefly. At the end of the morning or the evening, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I said, "Well, what time do you put the coffee on in the morning?" He said, "We don't drink coffee." I said, "You don't drink coffee?" "Nope, we drink green tea, hot green tea." And he said, "I saw a thing on Good Morning America a few years ago that if you wanted to increase your longevity, you need to drink green tea every morning." And I said, "Okay." So I get up the next morning and he says, "Can I pour you a cup?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Would you like some honey in that tea?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." Yeah, green tea is horrible. So I'm rushing around there getting my business done. It was up in Kansas is where this was. And it was my first trip to ever go to Kansas. So I'm leaving and I'm thinking, I've got to get somewhere and get a cup of coffee. And I'm driving and there is not a racetrack, a Quick Trip, a stop and go, a 7-Eleven, mom and dad's gas station, nothing. I have to drive all the way to Edmond, Oklahoma to a Cracker Barrel before I have my first cup of coffee at 1 o'clock that afternoon. But when I finally got it, it was good. So, but do pull that stunt on Homer and Etta Mae. I think you'll, if you haven't had them, they're great. They're great. Hope for Haiti's Children is in our 27th year. We operate 2 orphanages and 10 Christian schools in Haiti. And this congregation is a big, big part of what we do with financial assistance, with child sponsorship, and as Elliot mentioned this morning, with the Joy Box program. Now, I mentioned this in Bible class. Those that were there for that heard this, but I will mention it again. For the number of people that this congregation has and the number of kids that you sponsor, that is phenomenal. That is just an incredible number. We have some congregations that, of course, are larger and sponsor more kids, but I would say per capita of population here in this congregation, you folks sponsor more kids than anybody out there. And I just love the board that you all set up, and it's a blessing to those kids. It's a blessing to the parents of those kids who have to fight hard every month to come up with that $36 a month. But I'll get into more of that a little bit later. I hope you're getting correspondence from our office in Cincinnati, Ohio. That's where our central office is located. So most of the correspondence that you get, unless it's something from me that has a Texas address on it, comes from the office there in Cincinnati. So I hope that you're getting all that information as well. Mission statements. Every good company, every good organization has a mission statement, and we are no different. To demonstrate Christian compassion to poverty-bound Haitian children and their families, providing opportunities for these children to become leaders in their homes, their churches, and their communities. First and foremost, that's what we want, is for these kids in these schools, these 10 schools that we have, by the time they leave our program, to be a leader in their home and in their own community. I so appreciated the young man that read the scripture this morning, and if I wasn't just a little bit suspicious, I'd think you'd stolen my notes and looked at it. Comes again from James 1, which ties in directly to Hope for Haiti's Children and what we're all about. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's what we're trying to do. Be a lending hand, be a support mechanism for these kids and their families, so that one day they will have a better life. For those that were here for the Bible class, I do have a little short video, but I never get tired of looking at it. So you may pick up something the second time around that you didn't see the first time around. So I'm going to play that at this time, and I hope you enjoy it.
Project Hope is our 10-year plan to build a solid foundation to comprehensively care for all our sponsored children. This holistic approach is illustrated in the Project Hope Child Development Framework. A quality education is vital to a child's future. Many of our schools need significant capital improvements. The first goal of Project Hope is for all our children to learn in a well-lit, individual classroom, in a Christian school they are proud to attend, from preschool through high school. In response to the huge need for our children to receive adequate nutrition, the second Project Hope goal is for all our children to eat a nourishing meal every school day, and to have access to clean drinking water. With so many children needing health care, the third Project Hope goal is for all our children to have access to a school nurse who trains them on good hygiene, proper nutrition, and disease prevention, as well as coordinates access to clinics where vital medical needs are addressed. With the opportunity to broaden our care to orphan children, a fourth goal of Project Hope is to ensure all our children live in a well-maintained facility with enough room to sleep, study, and play, as well as learn vocational skills on site and in trade schools. Central to all our programs is for our children to understand their eternal importance to God and to find and follow Jesus. In a culture full of oppression and despair, a final goal of Project Hope is for all our sponsored children to learn God's Word and find encouragement to become outstanding Christian leaders through trainings at Camp Hope, youth rallies, and local mentors. By becoming a Project Hope financial partner, you will be creating engaging, Christ-centered environments for our children to learn, be nourished, stay healthy, belong, and be trained now and for eternity. Please consider joining Project Hope today and experience the joy of transforming children's lives in the name of Jesus.
Our mission: nurture, educate, and train. We want to nurture these kids with our two orphanages that we have, educate them in our 10 Christian schools, and train them for life afterwards, after their education. What are they going to be doing after they come out of our schools? I want to talk for just a second on the education piece of this. All of our staff, all of our Haitian staff, are members of the local Churches of Christ there. Some organizations through the years have implemented or tried to implement putting Americans on the ground in Haiti to try to run these programs, and it will always, always fail. We found that the best way is to work with the local Haitians, work with our Haitian staff, Christian staff, and the results are just much, much better. The parts just do not change out exactly from Americans to Haitians. There's differences in the culture and in things, but with that Christian staff that we have, our program just runs beautifully, and we're very, very thankful for that. Child sponsorship. This is what a big part of you folks here at Sand Springs do with the child sponsorship. And this $36 a month covers their tuition, their school supplies, their all-important school uniform that they have to attend school, an end-of-the-year gift, the health care that they need, and other things that may pop up as the family needs them or as the child needs them. But 100% of those funds go directly to child sponsorship. We see in a lot of situations where they may take a small portion of those funds and apply it to child sponsorship, and some of that those other funds are going elsewhere, not with our program. 100% of those funds go directly to child sponsorship. This is my sponsored child that I got to meet for the first time about 4 years ago. Yeah, in 2015 was when I first met him, and then I saw him again a couple of years later. But he's now 15 years old, attends school in the Brajewa school up on the mountain. Some of you folks may have a child in Brajewa. And when we were there visiting that particular day, he had received a certificate in school for his Bible memorization work. So every day they get a good healthy dose of their Bible memorization and God's teaching, but he's just growing up to be a really, really good looking young man. These are the Sand Springs kids, everybody that's sponsored out of this congregation. This is This is that group of kids. And it makes a transformational difference from the time a child goes without being a sponsor to when they do become sponsored finally. Their whole temperament and everything just changes dramatically. The smiles pop out on their faces, and they're just, it just makes all the difference in the world for somebody here to care enough to pay $36 a month to help them with their school. So thank you for that. And I will have some forms available back on the back table by the newsletters and the child sponsorship brochures. If anyone is interested in sponsoring a child, I'm sure get you some more information on that as well. This is our Haiti team, and this group just works tirelessly. This is a very, very dedicated group of Christian men and women who work tirelessly to keep our operation going. And sometimes it's not the easiest. There may be some gang activity going on in the area that they have to be extra careful about, but we're just thankful to God for this group that is dedicated and cares about these kids as much as we do. Financial accountability. This is a huge thing that I like to spend just a little bit of time with and talk about. In 2021, 88 cents of every dollar that our organization brought in went to services. Only a little less than 12% went to administration and fundraising. Usually, in the fundraising world, those numbers are completely reversed. It's usually 11% going to the work and 88 cents or 88% going into somebody's pocket. But in our recent audit, 88.3% of all monies that we receive go to that work. So you can rest assured the funds you give us go into the work and not for some elaborate or extravagant scheme or activity or whatever. Over on the right is a report on the Charity Navigator page, which is the nation's leading evaluator of charities. And if you scroll down there to the international part of Charity Navigator, you'll see Hope for Haiti's Children listed on there as one of their preferred top international charities. And that's a hard rating to get. It's the accountability that we have to submit and the receipts that we have to submit and the reports that we have to do. It's hard. It's hard. But it puts confidence in the people who are giving to our work, knowing that we're trustworthy and that you can trust us as well. Project Hope, as you saw from the video, is our framework for Christian education, clean food and water, health care, orphan care, and at the core of all of that is our spiritual training. And we want to build that strong foundation for all these kids on all of these facets, but especially at the heart of it is the spiritual training piece. These are our 10 Christian schools. The numbers out to the side show what that enrollment is at those schools. By far, the largest in our portfolio is the Delma Christian School, located in the center with 528 kids that attend that school. All of these schools, too, by the way, double as the local Church of Christ on Sunday morning. Now, in a country here in the States where building opportunities and especially church buildings are going up right and left for use on only maybe 2 or 3 days a week, these facilities in Haiti are probably used every single day of the week. They maximize these buildings and these facilities really, really well. Not only for church on Sundays, but school during the week, as well as outreach programs and feeding programs that they'll put on for people in the community to help those around them, to help their neighbors as well. But These are the 10 schools. The Brazoa School, located in the upper right hand, is one that we're really looking to improve this next year with a new facility, as well as the Robert School, which has an enrollment of around 288. But those are very, very difficult to get to. They're at the top of a very, very high mountain, and it's complicated to get building supplies and materials up there to be able to do things at these two places. Project Hope with our Christian education. You'll see our goal down at the bottom. Every child learns in an individual, engaging classroom in a Christian school taught by a qualified, well-equipped teacher. Every one of these teachers that we have in schools are members of the local church there in their area. This is the Kazoo Christian School, which is also the home to the Kazoo Orphanage. And in 2020, this is what the school looked like. We were growing at a tremendous rate, and what seems to be the norm in Haiti is we were landlocked as to where we were. We had no land to go north, south, east, or west. So we did the next best thing and built up. So we added a second and a third floor to this facility. The kitchen is over to the left under that metal structure. That is their outdoor kitchen where they cook a meal every day for the kids. And what they're doing on top of the roof every morning is they go up there, have the flag raising ceremony, and sing the Haiti national anthem. So that's a real inspiring thing to get to see if you're ever fortunate enough to make a trip, especially during the school year. This is the Hinch Christian School, which was in horrendous need of repair. This is what it looked like in the photo on the right hand inside. And you can imagine having pre-K through the sixth grade in this one room. They would put up partitions or curtains in between, but with kids, for some unknown reasons, it's noisy, and it's always going to be noisy. And it was just very, very hard to learn in there. Well, after this past year, this building on the left was completely bulldozed down. We received a grant from a foundation out of Chicago, Illinois, to help us build a new structure. The first floor is complete. We had to put the kids off-site for this past school year while the first floor was being built. The kids will be back in school next month, and while they're in school, they can do work on the second and the third floor. So that's coming along nicely. This is what it looked like inside. I might mention, too, there is no air conditioning in these classrooms, so it gets hot and noisy to boot. So it wasn't the best learning environment, but it will be starting this year. This is what an aerial view of what that school looked like before it was bulldozed. Ironically enough, this is a very, very valuable piece of property given the proximity it is. There is a major street right in front of it, so it was a valuable piece of property, and we thought about selling it, but the only problem is where do you move to find a good location for the kids? So we just decided to hang on to the property, which is paid for, and construct a new school. And this is what the new school will look like when it gets totally completed. These are some men doing some work on that school, mixing concrete for the floor, one cement mixer load at a time. You'll notice there is no pump truck in there from Ready Mix Concrete to dump it all out at once. They do it load by load by load, and it may take them all day long with 10 or 15 workers to pour that concrete floor, but they'll get it done. One good thing about this or any project that we have like this, we are able to employ members of the local Church of Christ there. And it puts a little bit of money in their pocket and also gives them some ownership in the project as well. But this is always a fascinating video to get to see the fact that they just do it bucket loads at a time or wheelbarrow loads at a time to get that concrete out there. This is the Thomas O. Christian School, and we are in the process, after we just received the last bit of funding for the 11th, 12th, and 13th grade classrooms, which are going to be right there. School in Haiti goes to the 13th grade. They call that Philo, P-H-I-L-O, unlike here in the United States where they just go to the 12th grade. They go one extra year there, and it's called the 13th grade. So when those are completed here very, very shortly, we'll have everything from pre-K all the way up to the 13th grade in our one facility. Food and water. We feed these kids every single day at school. Every child that comes to school gets a hot, nutritious meal. A lot of that food is donated to us from an organization out of Cincinnati, Ohio, and a lot of it comes just from donations, individual donations for food. But you can only imagine with 3,000 meals every day at 38 cents a meal, the cost of a meal, it's rather expensive every day to feed these kids. But I will say this, for many of these kids, this may be the only meal that they get all day, but a good byproduct of that is attendance. Attendance at our schools is around 95% every day because these moms and these dads want these kids to have that meal. So, and it helps them learn. We had a principal tell us these kids were so hungry sitting at their desks that they were falling asleep and we needed to do something. So it's an old Haitian proverb that says a hungry child is a deaf child. And I guess that could be true here in the United States if we had this same type of problem. They just couldn't concentrate. They just couldn't do their schoolwork. But they're all getting fed now, and we're very thankful for the donations that come in on that to keep our food program going. Summer weekly vacation Bible school, the kids also got a hot meal, as well as at the end of the week, we're able to take home some rice and beans for their family as well. So that was just a real treat. But this is what a typical Haitian kitchen looks like. This is one of the ladies there preparing the beans and the rice. These ladies will fill those plates. You can see the young man on the right just load that plate completely down, and even little fellas like this will eat every single bite at school. Adequate health care. We're able to achieve this through our annual health care clinic that we have the last week of every January and the first week in February. And in years past, before the travel restrictions were put into place, we would have teams come in from the United States and run that for those two-week periods. One team would come in for 1 week, and then another team would come in for another week. And they were just ordinary people. We had a few doctors, we had a few nurses, but by and large, for the most part, it's just ordinary people who want to go, want to help, and want to be a part of it. But it's this helps tremendously, and especially the fact now that we have a nurse in every one of our 10 schools, we're able to treat a lot of these problems before they become big problems. And in Haiti, that's the big issue. It's not so much the disease or the illness they get, but it's the longevity that they have it of not being able to treat it or to get it treated. Right now, we're able to arrest a lot of these problems before they become big problems. And that's what you want to do. This is just a good shot of the Thomas O. Christian School. The people there on the right with the buckets are heading down to the well. They're on the property to get their water for the day and take it back home. And they may come on little motorcycles. They may walk. This guy looks like he's got a donkey that he can load that thing down with and take his water back to his family. But that's how you get water in Haiti if you're there. This is our new medical clinic at Tamazo, which just opened up this past year. We have a doctor, nurse, lab technician, and this has been proven to be just a tremendous outreach, not only for the kids who need the help, but also for the entire community. So they're able to get a lot of people into this clinic and then get them into church on Sunday. So we're thrilled that we were able to get the funding for this here this past year. Orphan care, these are the 12 kids on the right that live at Tamazo, and these are the 48 at our Kazoo Christian Orphanage. Not all of these kids are what you would call true orphans. Some of them may still have a parent that's still alive, yet that parent is unable to care for them. So as a result, they'll bring them to the orphanage where they will live. But the parents will give up those kids in order to help them and give them a better life than what they could afford them there at home. The Tamazo Christian Orphanage just added a new dorm, so we'll be getting 12 more kids out there, bringing our total up to 24. This is the new Tamazo dormitory expansion plans that were in the works over on the right, and this is what it looks like today. This was the little open house party that they had for the dormitory expansion, and they were all real excited about that and had balloons, and everybody showed up for the event. Orphan care out at Tamazo, we have 22 acres out there. We're teaching these kids how to garden, agricultural skills. We have a tilapia farm. We have chickens, turkeys. We have eggs galore, excuse me, that we're able to share as a social enterprise and sell those with members, with folks there in the community. But here about 7 years ago, we installed this tilapia pond out there, and we didn't know really what we were doing. It seems like every time we would stock the pond, the fish would live for a month or two, and then they would die. So we had some folks come in from Oklahoma Christian and said, well, the problem is you're cooking these fish in this hot water. You need to get a tarp over this thing and get this thing regulated. And when you do it right, man, it all works. And we've got, these kids are able to have fresh fish there at the orphanage, and many of them had never even seen a fish before. So that's a pretty big deal. But we have goats and, of course, the gardening and fresh mangoes out there. So with 22 acres, it helps to be able to utilize that space and make it work. And they're making it work out there. Life skills, want to teach them something they can do after they get out of school. And we have a sewing class there. If the kids wanted to learn to become a tailor or computer skills, pastry. We have a pastry operation down in the lower right-hand corner. So as long as they will express an interest in something or we can show them something, it catches on pretty quick there. And the reception on that and all has been really, really, really good. So this is taken off. We call this our PACES program, Promising Adult Child Education Sponsorship. So that's really been a big help. Here's some of the other things we're teaching them and educating them in is nursing, construction, cosmetology, tile laying, plumbing, electrical. Just like here in the States, if you can do these things here in the States, you can make money. If you can do these things in Haiti, you can make money as well. So there's a lot of interest in that, out of the normal going to school and then wondering what are we going to do after that. Our camp this past year had 230 kids at Camp Hope, baptized 42 kids. We're real excited about that, and we're real excited about the openness of these kids and how receptive they are to God's Word, God's teachings, and what His plans are for them in their lives. So 42 kids were baptized this past year. It's just some of the photos of the spiritual training there at Camp Hope, and that's from all 10 of the schools. The teenagers, ages 13 to 18, get to come in for a week, see old friends, make new friends, and enjoy crafts, activities, and good meals every day. So that's a blessing for those kids. There's a photo of the 42 baptisms that we had this past year. We want to follow up with these kids afterwards. I think the church here in the United States has a tendency to drop the ball. Once we get these kids baptized, we don't stay with them or stay followed up with them as to what they're doing or what problems or issues they're having. And we're able to do that here with our staff. And just like the kids here in this country have problems and issues, these kids have a lot of the same problems and issues. And having a staff there that can reach out to them, that can help them, that can counsel with them is really beneficial. I want to keep these kids in church. So really that's it, our framework, our total framework of Christian education, food and water, health care, orphan care, and at the heart of it is our spiritual training. So we bring it all home to say thank you. If these kids were here today, they would say the same thing that I'm saying is thank you for caring. Thank you for giving of your resources to help us have a better life. And while many of you will never, ever see your sponsored child on this side, one of these days you will. And that will be just a tremendous thing to see someone in eternity that you helped here on this earth know about God and know about His love and His grace. And that's worth more than all the money in the world. In just a moment, as is the custom here at this congregation, we're going to be singing a song of encouragement. And just as we are commanded to visit the widows and the orphans, as we read in James 1, we're also commanded to be obedient to God and His teachings. So this morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, you need to be. You need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to come out of the water a new creation, a new creature in Christ. The writer says that in 2 Corinthians 2, 6 and 2, now is the acceptable time, now is the day of salvation. Or maybe you are needing the prayers of this congregation for some issue or problem that you may be experiencing in your life. I know the elders here would love to pray with you and love to visit with you, and the members would greet you with open arms. But however this group of Christians can help you this morning, we invite you to come right now while together we stand and as we sing.
Over all the earth, you reign on high.
Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But on my one request, Lord, my only one. you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again, over every thought, over every word. May my life reflect the beauty of my Lord, 'cause you mean more to me than any earthly thing. So don't you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again. Lord, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again. You are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me.